I think the biggest misconception is that Tantra is just sex. People think that I'm going to learn something and then I'll just have the best sex of my life, like it's some position or some tool.
Welcome to Hippie Critical.
Manifestation.
Raves and transformational festivals.
Sound healing.
Tantra is about being embodied.
To go completely barefoot.
Someone that tries every single sort of hippie practice.
Very subjective experiences.
Skepticism is totally healthy.
From the counterculture to the common culture.
Hello, we are here today with Liz. And she is, I totally know what your name is. I'm going to keep that in there.
Everybody, that happens a lot.
Says Liz a lot. I'm sorry. Yeah, Liv, Love, Pavlov.
Yes.
We are here today with Liv Pavlov, who is a sex, tantra, and intimacy coach. I just want to kick it off by asking, Liv, what's your background? Tell us about yourself.
So I got into tantra about 2 to 3 years ago. I have a background in psychology, and I had tried to do life very traditional, do all the right things, get married, buy a house, go to school, and I found myself miserable. And I got this message from my interpretation of the world from Spirit that said, okay, you might not know what you really want and where you want to go, but just go out into the world and start seeking. And I found Tantra. So Tantra is a practice about trusting the body and trusting your senses and learning through your body in the world. And that made a lot of sense to me. So I've been on this journey for a few years now, and I love sharing with people what I've learned so far. And that's what has me with you today.
Thank you. What an intro. Before, I was trying to do as much research as I can.
Mm-hmm.
That basically meant looking up on Wikipedia, what is Tantra? So I'm just trying to regurgitate what I read. I was very surprised how little Tantra has to do with sex.
Yeah.
In its, at least its original form, where it comes from an Indian and Buddhist and Hindu tradition in which Tantra, the word literally means something like weave or loom.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on different scriptures of Sanskrit, it also has this meaning of weaving things together, whether it's a body of practice, a theory, or technique.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what you think about that OG version of Tantra, the definition, to what it has become known as today and maybe all the variations.
Mm-hmm. I think that definition is still really applicable. And I would say that the emphasis lately is on that the weaving is weaving through our senses. So weaving in our sight and our smell and our touch and our kinesthesis, so our body, where's our body in the world,
mm-hmm.
weaving all that into our experience of life. And I think, you know, you can take it a step further. There's a lot of emphasis about feeling all our emotions fully and not leaving any part of life out. So I think that's also applicable, just weaving everything you can into your experience in the world.
I see. And my first impression
mm-hmm.
of Tantra was automatically tantric sex or tantra sex, because that's, for some reason, maybe marketing or movies, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, that's the first impression that I got. But then I read that Tantra may be about like 10% sex, but it's, you know, 90% like sensuality and spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, for someone who has like no idea what Tantra is, what is a good entry point for them to start learning? What can they benefit? How can they benefit
mm-hmm.
from this practice?
So the best way, if you're curious about Tantra, is try to find someone near you who's teaching about Tantra or running workshops or anything like that, because Tantra is about being embodied and being in the world. And so now how we're all operating is on our phones and Googling things, and no one's even going to the library or buying books on Amazon anymore, right? It's all like, oh, I'll just try to find this online or I'll watch a video. But I would really encourage people to get with someone in the world who's teaching about this so they can learn firsthand. This is not a plug, but a really great school about Tantra is called ISTA, the International School of Temple Arts.
ISTA.
ISTA, yep. I've done training with them, and they run workshops all over the world. I did my training in the north part of of Queensland, so in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that because that might be a really good explanation mm-hmm. from the lens of someone who went through ISTA and that training. What do you learn from like the different levels? Like what was the mm-hmm. very first thing that you learned? What is considered perhaps beginner to expert
mm-hmm.
in this field?
Well, I'll just keep it general for the purpose of answering that question. I'm not supposed to really, it's an experiential kind of a learning thing. So mm-hmm. I would say what I really learned was emotional intelligence. What I mean by that is I learned tools to help me be as clear as I can be on any given day. Before I did that training, I didn't realize how much stuck emotion I really had in my body. I don't know how to explain the connection exactly, but by being able to move my emotions and clear my emotions, I can feel a lot more. I can think more clearly. I'm more in touch with life rather than kind of having this emotional barrier.
Mm.
That's really vague, but yeah, I'd say ISTA gave me emotional intelligence, and that has made me more effective at everything I do, whether it be having a conversation or running or picking what I eat for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So you're learning a lot about emotional intelligence and body awareness and self-awareness. How does that translate to being a practitioner doing that for someone else?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first way it translates is being able to share those tools with people. So I can share one of my favorite tools is called a pillow screen. And so you might wake up in the morning and think you feel happy and fine in your day. But if you take a pillow and put it in front of your face and just do a muffled scream like woo into the mm-hmm. pillow, you'll notice a change in your state. So like no matter how clear we think we are, there's always some emotion in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've incorporated that into like all my sessions, almost getting people to scream, because it's also like if you look at a little kid, right? If you watch a kid going about their day, they don't hesitate. They're screaming all the time. They get
They're
upset.
Free.
They're crying, right? They're just responding to life like moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
And as adults, we're like, oh shit, I lost my phone. Okay, I'm going to keep it together. It's fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a kid would be
very
like,
serious.
Ah, lost my phone. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, pillow scream lets us share our emotions in a way that bypasses our logical adult brain. Yeah.
When I was in college, during finals, we would do something called the primal scream.
Mm-hmm.
And because people are stuck in the library studying all day,
mm-hmm.
but I think it would be like the week before finals or maybe even during. And everyone would get out of their dorms or from their dorm windows, scream out at the top of their lungs. And it was amazing. It was very mm-hmm. releasing. And I think there is something about that type of body awareness
mm-hmm.
and releasing and expressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important that we get in touch with our natural selves. You know, there's a lot that we have learned that we don't even know we've learned in mm-hmm. our social conditioning. That's not really healthy for us, you know? Hold in your yelling. No, it's not actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of learning, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you find people have about Tantra or what you do?
I think the biggest misconception is that Tantra is just sex or like a word to hide a massage with a hand job, right? People mm-hmm. think that that's all there really is to it is maybe massage and sensuality, or I'm going to learn something and then I'll just have the best sex of my life. Like it's some position or some tool, or I do something with my muscles or whatever. But Tantra is a practice. So there are all these aspects from breath work to meditation techniques to partnered techniques, so ways to breathe with another person or meditate with another person. And then there is an aspect kind of after all that groundwork has been set of how to enhance actual physical sexual encounters. And what I think is behind why Tantra has become a buzzword is there's no other, whatever you want to call it, religion or teaching or source in the world that promotes sacred sexuality in the way that Tantra does. I believe that the world is just now beginning to use sexuality in a sacred way and a way for personal development. And Tantra, as far as I really know, it's the only formalized teaching that's gained any traction about how to use sexuality that way. So
what do you mean by sacred sexuality, and what would non-sacred sexuality be?
So let's say it's a day and you don't have to work and you're just at home in your house, right? And you're bored and you think, okay, my body's craving some kind of a physical release. So you call your friend with benefits and they come over and you just say, I just want to get off. I just want to release this energy, and that's it. And so you have sex and you come and they leave and that's it. Right. And it's just like this very physical
kind of transactional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would be like just standard sexuality. And what I would say sacred sexuality is okay, you're at your house and you somehow feel alive or you feel motivated or you feel inspired and you desire to share that with another person, that aliveness that's in you, or you have emotions that you want to move, or there's some thing that you want to manifest in the world and you want to work with another person to use your sexuality to manifest that. So you call your tantra friend and they come over and you set intentions and you talk about what you want to create and you talk about any kind of risks you could expose each other to, and you create a beautiful environment and you share your bodies with each other, and you might or you might not come if you're a male, and if you're a female, you might enjoy lots of pleasure, and then there'd be some natural kind of close to the encounter, and you would thank each other and be on your way. I'd say that's kind of the difference. So there's some intention, there's some purpose, there's coming together and sharing from a place of fullness rather than from a place of taking or using.
Less of this maybe selfish energy or self-centered energy of like, I just want to get off, but more so about what am I feeling? How do I want to share it in a conscious way? I'm curious if you might be able to illustrate for people listening. Let's pretend it's a man and a woman who have recently met and they want to share something special together. And they're interested in Tantra. They have no idea where to start. How would you recommend they maybe go about this session together or ideas of how to like create that safe space?
It's a great question. I would, again, point them to someone in the real world who could come and talk with them and teach them. So there's a great saying, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. I don't know if you've heard that one, but I think when people really have, if anyone is drawn to Tantra, there's a reason for it, and it means that they're ready to learn more. And I really can't emphasize enough finding someone. So Googling Tantra practitioners in your area, trying to contact someone who works for the ISTO organization. And in most major cities around America, at least, I can't, and Australia as well, I can't speak to other parts of the world because I haven't practiced Tantra in other countries than these two, but you can definitely find a Tantrika. So Tantrikas are female-bodied people who've studied Tantra and then practice that with other people in the world. And then the equivalent for a male-bodied person is usually called a Daka. That's D-A-K-A. Yeah. And so you can find online Dakas or Tantrikas in any major city, I'd say in America or Australia. And I would think it's the same in Europe as well.
And are there formal forms of finding these people? You mentioned ISTA, because what I'm wondering, and maybe a lot of people might have nervousness about, is this legal? Is this a sexual thing? Like how do I approach it? Do I pay them online and they come over? Like, how does this all work?
Yeah, there's a lot of gray area in that one. I can't give you a clear answer. I would say that if you're hiring someone particularly to come and teach you about Tantra, that's not illegal. The laws about performing sexual acts in different parts of the country are different by state to state, and they're all changing quite rapidly. So there's new legislation going through in New York as we speak to legalize all sex work. So,
well, at the federal level, or
no, just
in
New York,
in New York,
in this, yeah, mm-hmm. and I believe just in New York City also. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a tough one. There is a website that I would recommend called Eros.com. That one is really popular. One of the most common ones for tantricas and dakas to advertise their services. But I think also going on Facebook, Googling Tantra Los Angeles, for example, you'll find things that way, and just simply Googling. So aside from Eros, I don't have another mm-hmm. site to recommend. And then the legality is gray, but
right.
Yeah.
Continuing off of that thread, let's say that someone discovers our conversation mm-hmm. and they're like, I think I want to work with Liv.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they still have that same nervousness about, okay, how is this exactly going to work? Would you mind walking step by step from the initial communication mm-hmm. to what they would end up experiencing?
Mm-hmm. People would either find me on Facebook, Instagram, or on Eros, and they'll reach out either through a text message or a phone call and say, hey, I'm interested in what you offer. I want to learn more. So if they reach out to me on my phone, I'll either call them back or send them a text back, or through messengers, I'll just send them a message back and I'll direct them to my website usually, or to my Eros ad. And so in those two places, I list my two options of services. So I have a giving only session where I give touch to the other person and work one way with them. And then I do a giving and receiving session where they give touch to me as well. And that can be really useful when people want to manifest the kind of partnerships that they want, things like that, because there's no better way to have what we really want than to experience it already. So by being in this setting where they can give and receive and be really safe, I find it actually helps a lot of people start the kind of relationships they want. Side note. So they'll select which option of session they want to do. Sometimes I take deposits for bookings because people cancel last minute, and if you make a deposit, they're more likely to come. I'll send them my address, we'll schedule a time, and then when they arrive, depending on the day, we will sit and talk for a while, we'll do some breathing and eye gazing together, we'll set intentions for the session, I'll learn about what they're looking for in the session, yeah.
And you mentioned breathing and eye gazing. Can mm-hmm. you tell us more about that?
Sure.
Why do you do that?
So that's really kind of a entry point in Tantra to sync the nervous systems of two people. So when we're sitting here in these chairs, our bodies are already breathing, our hearts are already beating, and we're already looking around, and it's all just happening unconsciously, right? But when we consciously control our breath and our eye movement, it really settles our nervous system into ease. And it's important to be able to come from ease when you're engaging with another person intimately, because that's just where we can feel the most and share ourselves the most. So mm-hmm. those are two common entry points.
And how long would you do that for? This is pretend that mm-hmm. it lasts an hour.
Yep.
How long would you spend on that versus mm-hmm. all the other types of work?
Depending on the person, that's just the first few minutes. So let's say the first 5 to 15 minutes is talking, eye gazing, breathing, depending mm-hmm. on the person. Yep.
And do you tend to have a lot of background info already collected about this person, like maybe a phone conversation before? Because I'm curious if there's ever been types of clients where you're like, hey, this isn't for you, or this isn't going to work out. I wonder if that has ever happened.
I've only had maybe 2 or 3 experiences I put in that category out of several hundred clients, so less than 1% of people, I would say. In those instances, I would also say I had an intuition before the person came. I don't know what you want to call that. I had a gut feeling or had a sense about something was not quite right. And typically, that is when someone's just looking for having sex and leaving. In the introduction part of a session, I can quickly tell if that's what someone's there for, you know, because they'll be, in these instances, they were impatient or disinterested in the conversation, whereas most clients are very engaged and open and sharing about their life and whatever brought them to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of whatever brought them to you, mm-hmm. what would you say are the top reasons that do bring people to you or to seek this out?
Number one is some kind of dissatisfaction in their primary relationship. So they're either coming to me for that satisfaction or to learn how to create it themselves in their partnership, right? So it could be simply a lack of touch, a lack of being heard, a lack of connection. I would say it all comes down to connection. It's that when that feeling's not there for people, that's what's most commonly bringing them to me.
And do most of your clients already have a strong understanding of Tantra, or are you in a lot of ways teaching them through the experience?
Mm-hmm. It's 2/3, 1/3. So I'd say about 1/3 are informed about Tantra or have practiced before or seen another Tantrika. And then 2/3 are totally new to it.
I see. Is Tantric just the adjective of something that is Tantra-like? Because I've heard Tantric describe something and then Tantra. So I'm not really quite sure about the vocabulary.
I'm laughing. There's a kombucha right now that's called, like, what is it? Tantric turmeric kombucha. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely, I'm just laughing.
It has that
like,
buzzword.
What's tantric about this kombucha? Nothing. It's just kombucha. Mm-hmm. I would say that when someone's using tantric as an adjective, maybe I'll just speak to myself. If I were to say something's tantric, I would be saying that it was intentional, present, embodied, and thoughtful. So let's say it's a tantric dance, right? It's about really being in the body, being conscious about what you're doing, bringing a lot of thought and intentionality, and using that dance practice to get something else out of it or to grow. So that's how I would say. But I certainly can't speak to the world, and I definitely don't think that tantric turmeric kombucha is any different than the one next to it. Yeah,
That's something I'm trying to parse out for myself is the ontology and the labels and vocabulary around not just Tantra, but all these other quote-unquote hippie topics that I am diving into. So embodying someone who's a skeptical beginner, I'm wondering, is Tantra just like the same thing as saying something is like conscious or spiritual, or like, is there really any difference, or is there kind of like a very unique lineage or way of doing something that is Tantra?
Well, there are people from mainly there's Buddhist, and then there's Indian Vedic Tantra. There are people who've been taught in lineages. So like teachers of the teachers of the teachers who have learned from passing this knowledge down firsthand through all these generations. So that would be, and is what most people say is the most pure or true Tantra teaching, right? If you can find someone who can show you the lineage all the way back to the origins of this work. My closest connection would be through the ISTA training. The people that founded ISTA did go and study in India. I can't cite this all directly. I've never dedicated mental effort to memorizing this, but that would be my closest personal connection. So anyone could say, I'm having a Tantra workshop, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of controversy, or I have had conversations and have heard conversations where people say, well, how do you know it's true? How do you know it's real? All these things. But I would say it's something like, if you imagine something that can only really be for good, like feeding people who are hungry, like you could find all kinds of scenarios where that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like if you're hungry or I'm hungry, I want to eat. You want to eat. So if someone feeds us, great. I see teaching about Tantra similarly. Like as long as people have the intention of sharing something to make the world a better place, I'm not like...
Mm-hmm. You're not going to be so much of like, I guess, descriptive of this is how you need to do it, as long as the overall intention is rooted in being conscious and present.
Mm-hmm. And every person who's interested in this will take their journey the way they take it, you know? They'll seek out whatever they find and know what works for them and what doesn't, so.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of what works for some people and not, I'm wondering if there's a difference between how you practice Tantra and maybe how Tantra is practiced elsewhere, or other teachers that you've seen have different styles? Is this like a very diverse type of practice where there's so many ways to do Tantra, or is it kind of perhaps Bikram yoga where there is like kind of a
set sequences? Set,
exactly.
Yeah. There are certain aspects, like certain eye gazing techniques that I use, certain types of massage or placing the hands in certain positions on the body, certain conversations that I'll invite people to have with me that I would say are like consistent, or you might find lots of other tantra practitioners doing. Like, there's just a quick example. It's very common to hear about sacred spot massage or yoni massage for women. It's like a particular way to massage a woman sensually to work with her body and work with her energy. So,
and just to repeat that, that was sacred spot massage, or how do you spell it?
Yoni. Y-O-N-I.
Yoni massage.
Yoni massage. So that's, I work with female bodies as well, and that's what I offer for women. So that is something that I offer that would be like consistent across the board, right? Mm-hmm. Or
great. What's your sign, and does it matter to you?
My astrology sign?
Yeah.
I'm Cancer, and I had my birthday on July 3rd.
Happy belated.
Thank you. And does it matter to me? I'd say that I'm a lot more than just my sign, but for me, using astrology is a great filter to understand the world.
What is one of your favorite forms of self-care?
Being in heated rooms, so saunas, steam rooms, I go many times per week.
I love those as well.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Does Tantra ever involve that, like in a sauna type of setting
or different heated setting? Never heard about that. That's
maybe a new niche.
Hot Tantra.
Yeah, exactly. That might make the public perception like even more rooted in what it is now.
Hot Tantra, I like that.
If you could get 80% of the benefit of this practice with low effort, someone on their own, they're curious about Tantra, what are some things they could immediately do, let's say tonight or in their own bedroom?
Number one thing would be sit in silence for at least 5 minutes every day. Number two is develop a self-pleasure practice that doesn't involve pornography or any kind of external stimulation. So get in touch with your own body, your own genitals, and sit quietly with no music, no nothing going on.
No other stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that do for people?
I'd say that those are both quick access to learning about yourself and tapping into what's really going on inside, rather than what the mind is saying to us all day long.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for your presence and your time and sharing your knowledge with us, Liv.
You're welcome. It's been a joy. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hippie Critical. There's no higher honor you could pay us than to recommend us to a friend. Now think of your most skeptical friend who could find a lot of entertainment and value in this podcast or this episode. You could also check us out at hippiecritical.org. That's hippiecritical.org. Thank you for your presence.